We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Fun, entertaining, knowledgeable.
All right.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Right.
Live and local, it's time for the Fan Morning Show with Bart Winkler.
And Toby Altizer, don't forget him, and all the listeners that call and stuff, and the guests on Odyssey.
1250 AM, The Fan, good morning, everybody. We are brought to you by Waukesha Sports Cards, and they are continuing to deliver some big-time autograph signings. Coming up this weekend, this Saturday, a public signing with Ryan Braun and Pat Listash and Paul Molitor and Robin Yount. It is like a signing tailor-made for me. It's got three guys from my first favorite team, that 92 Brewers team, and then, of course, Ryan Braun, who I adore as a player. WaukeshaSportsCards.com. That is Saturday. Check out more, WaukeshaSportsCards.com. Molitor, Yount, Listash, and Braun. Waukesha Sports Cards. It is time to do our power rankings. We call it the worst in five, where we give you the worst team in the league, and then also our five best teams in the league. And we do it every week. We do it on Wednesdays. But Toby wasn't here, so we moved it to Thursday. Just like Toby bought Ryder Cup gear in 2021 that says 2020 on it. Sometimes things get moved. It's all right. All right, Toby, give me your worst team in all of football.
Yeah, last week I went with the Atlanta Falcons. I'm going to stick with them. They're not good. And they looked like they were hanging around with the Buccaneers, and then Matt Ryan decided to throw touchdowns to the other team. So Falcons, not a good football team right now. I'll put them at my worst spot.
Yeah. Well, see, somehow I talked myself into thinking that they would be better this year. Like it'd be one last hurrah for Matt Ryan. But they are pretty bad. And I can't really fight you on that one. I am going to put... I think I'm going to combine the two New York teams. They're terrible. And I thought the Giants would be better, too. But I'm going to go with the Jets. And I'm going to go with the Jets because a 12-year-old kid ripped on the Jets better than anyone I've seen break down football at all.
If there's one play that sums up the New York Jets, this one has to be it. This Patriots winning off the edge. This Jets lineman is probably holding. There's a Patriot charging up the middle at Zach with no blocking at all. This Jets dude is being pancaked on the ground. We have these two idiots staring at each other like, yo, what are we doing? I don't know, let's just stand here. We have 78 touching his own lineman. On top of that, we have two receivers with zero separation, and the cherry on top has to be Zach Wilson throwing this pick. And Corey Davis has no hops.
Just a brutal takedown from a 12-year-old kid on TikTok, which went viral over the last couple of days. I got to go with the Jets. So you're going to go Atlanta. I'm going to go with the New York Jets. All right. For the five best teams, I'm like just trying to map out what I want to do here. And I'm thinking, okay, I want the Chiefs up there, but the Chiefs lost to the Ravens. So do I have to put the Ravens better than the Chiefs? But I like the Raiders. So do I put the Raiders above the Ravens? And then how do I do all this do-si-do? So I'm just going to try to come up with who I think the five best teams in the league are right now and go from there. Who did the Bills lose in week one to?
The Steelers.
Oh, God. Yeah, that's right. I'm still going to... All right, I'm going to go Ravens 5. Raiders 4. Chiefs 3. Rams 2. Tampa 1. That's how I'm going to do it. So I'm bypassing undefeated teams such as Carolina, who we'll see tonight. Arizona just misses for me. The Niners at 2-0. And the Broncos at 2-0. So I'm going to go, one is the Buccaneers, two is the Rams. They play each other this weekend. Monster game for this early in the season. Three is the Chiefs. I'm going to go with the Raiders at 4 and the Ravens at 5. A tie with, you know what? Give me the Bills at 5. Change. Give me the Bills.
Bills over the Ravens. Okay.
Yeah, the Bills are better than the Ravens. Give me the Bills at 5. I know the Ravens beat the Chiefs. Give me the Bills at 5. That's my final. Final answer, lock it in.
All right. Mine's a little bit different. I got the Cardinals at 5. I have a hard time. I have one and one team in here, and that's the Chiefs.
But the Cardinals, see, I look at the Cardinals like they should have lost.
Sure. But they found a way to win, so I'll put the Cardinals at 5.
Did they, though, or did the Vikings find a way to lose?
I mean, they put up a lot of points. Their defense a little sketchy, but they found a way to win that game, and you're right. I mean, they probably should have lost that game, but they didn't. I thought they looked good, though, overall. I mean, I'd be scared of having to face Kyler Murray right now. And then at number 4, I'll put the Chiefs. At number 3, I'll put the upcoming opponent of the Green Bay Packers, the 49ers. And then we agree on the top 2, the Rams at 2, the Buccaneers number 1.
All right, so you're going to go Bucks, Rams, Niners?
Yep.
And then who?
Chiefs and Cardinals.
Chiefs and Cardinals. Yeah, the Cardinals.
There's no hops.
Oh, geez, that 12-year-old still talking. My bad. Whatever, I was going to try to... Here, I'm just going to play it.
High snap, put down. Joseph, come on! It is gone! No, he missed it!
That's no good.
Are you kidding me? He missed it right.
He missed it right.
Oh, my heavens.
Funny stuff. All right, so those are our power rankings. You guys can chime in. We'll tweet those at 1250 AM The Fan, and you can play along with us. 414-799-1250. You're going to go inside the Packers locker room. I think Rodgers, LaFleur, and Devontae and these guys talked a little bit about this upcoming matchup. Unless Aaron Rodgers just went on his feelings tour 2021 again. We'll hear from them momentarily. Tonight's game, the Panthers and the Texans. Toby and I have been drafting teams in a fantasy-style format for the Thursday night games, 3 rounds, and trying to come up with who's going to score the most points. I lost on purpose last week so that I could have the number one pick tonight. So we'll do 3 rounds, Texans and Panthers, and I might just have to look up their lineups real quick because I don't know who the hell's going to score for the Texans. So I know that my first pick will be Christian McCaffrey. So I win.
Yeah, you can kind of just go ahead and take the rest of the bank. If you're going to go Christian McCaffrey, I think I got to take Sam Darnold here.
Yeah, maybe. Okay. Let me just wait for my Wi-Fi to kick in so I can open up a DraftKings and tell you who on the Texans might score. Why don't you give me, God, I guess I don't want to take Davis Mills. Why don't you give me Brandon Cooks has been scoring a bunch, but who's throwing to him? Give me DJ Moore.
Yeah, that's who I was going to take. See, the thing is, usually you'd say, all right, you want to get both quarterbacks and running backs.
Yeah.
I don't even know who runs the ball for the Texans because they got like 6 guys. Davis Mills, give me
Davis.
Are we all just gonna load up on Panthers here because we think they're gonna give me Robbie Anderson?
No, I wanted him. All right, I'm gonna. God, I guess I'll take Cooks. I don't know. Can Davis Mills run?
He was more of a drop back pocket passer at Stanford, so I'm assuming no. Oh boy,
Ingram, he runs a lot. Maybe I'll take Ingram.
So you going Cooks, Ingram?
Give me Cooks.
I guess we got to take our token Texan, right?
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Give me...
Davis.
It's only because I think he's the most talented back in this backfield. Give me Philip Lindsay.
No, what? All right. Good luck to you, sir.
Well, you sabotaged it so you get CMC. You're going to score more with Christian McCaffrey than my three combined.
If I do that, does this win count as two?
No.
All right. I am down 0-2 to Toby in our Thursday night contest. So I am down at this point so far. You know, we do it so, like, I clear the deck, like, on Mondays and Thursdays so I can watch these games, but, man... Good thing my wife knows nothing about football, because if she sees me watching Panthers Texans, she's gonna be like, "What are you doing? We're not Law and Order's tonight. That's a big show in our house. And it's a 2-hour SVU, and then Maloney's show after that. So we gotta like watch that. But we'll probably kick that to Friday. But if she knew I was watching Panthers Texans and that Davis Mills was starting, why are you making me wait for Davis Mills?
Well, and while we're at it. Panthers or Texans tonight? The Panthers are favored by 8.
And it's in Houston?
It's in Houston.
Yeah, I kind of might take Houston to cover. I think you might be in for some fluky stuff tonight.
Yeah, I'm not about that. Give me Carolina.
All right, we'll do that as well. So that's for our picks. I'll take Houston to cover. I'm Bart, that's Toby. The Packers, underdogs, as you would expect, against San Francisco. We will go inside the locker room. Access that only we can provide, as well as Packers.com and every beat writer and Twitter. But right now, us on the Fan.
I will say I actually played against myself in fantasy this week in my own like friend group fantasy. And so that was tough because I took a loss. And I definitely contributed to that. But no, so it's fun. I think fantasy is great. You know, it just gets people kind of more involved in specific players and, you know, in football in general. So, you know, I have a lot of fun with my college friends and, you know, a lot of people are messaging me and telling me, hey, you did great for me in fantasy. I was at a apple orchard the other day and someone random guy came up to me and told me I did a great job for his fantasy team. So yeah, I think people are very invested in their fantasy teams and I think that's great.
That's Raiders kicker Daniel Carlson. You know, that's great. He lost against himself in fantasy. It's so cool. It's a good story. Also, what? The NFL and MLB and college, they gotta retcon all these times that guys got in trouble for like gambling and stuff. Cause now they're super into DraftKings and FanDuel and they're letting sports books advertise during their games. They have the lines during the broadcast, except for, you know, CBS still respects the integrity of the sport. They won't even put a -4.5 next to
P-Rose should be a Hall of Famer.
I know Pete Rose should be a Hall of Famer. Arby's is coming out and saying, if you are an RB, a running back, do a little video to say, I'm having Arby's tonight. They'll give you $500 for college athletes, yet Reggie Bush doesn't have his Heisman. I mean, it's fine if you're going to do this, but also you got to like rectify everything and punishment in the past. Daniel Carlson, nah, I'm not saying he's going to miss a field goal on purpose. For his fantasy team. That's ridiculous. But, I don't know. So is everything else.
Hey, he might. Depends upon how much the stakes are.
Yeah, I mean, what if he's playing one of the guys in his friend group that he, like, only half likes?
I mean, what if it's...
And he never beat him before.
What if we get to week 17, and yes, I know there's 18 weeks in the season, but most championships are week 17, and Daniel Carlson has a chance to make a kick that's going to lose him the championship game, and he knows it, and the Raiders have already clinched a playoff spot.
Yeah. Yeah, then he's probably going to whiff it. I mean, we don't know what Carlson's... We're going to be like, oh, it's probably just a $100 lead.
Hey, John, I got an ingrown toenail. Can't kick this week.
Yeah, and also, what if he's playing the spread, too? You know, that's where it starts. It starts with cigarettes, and then you do weed, and then you're snorting everything you can find, and then you're stabbing your arm with everything. It's a gateway gamble. And we don't know how big Carlson's entry fee is. We don't know where, like, what if Daniel Carlson is throwing racks and stacks, whatever it's called when you have a lot of money? What if he's throwing $5,000 entry fees? I don't know.
Yeah, him and all his kicker buddies.
Yeah. Yeah, what if all the kickers have a league together and they're all in on it? We're just at the tip of the iceberg here. It was a cute little story, but we need to investigate a little further. Dave tweets back in, says that one of us should have taken the Panthers D.
That is a good point.
Yeah, we screwed up there.
I took Philip Lindsay instead.
Would you have taken Panthers D over Philip Lindsay?
I like Philip Lindsay too much.
Yeah, he's just the guy. If you play fantasy, there's always these guys where you're like, if I start him, they suck. And if I don't play them, they do well. Philip Lindsay's been that guy for me. Matt Breida's on that lineup for me.
Well, and this may anger Wisconsin fans. I think he's better than Melvin Gordon, and I don't know why Denver gave up on him.
I don't know. Wisconsin fans are too attached to Melvin. I mean, he's from Kenosha, but...
Yeah, I'm just saying. Like,
if you say Lindsay's better than Gordon, there's going to be Badger honks listening going,
I mean, he's not...
Hey, Toby, will you remember here? Melvin Gordon had 300 yards in a game.
Yeah, I can't believe that Denver let him walk for nothing. I think he's still the most talented back in that backfield, but I don't think Houston knows what they're doing. I mean, you saw that situation where they had a chance to take a penalty and replay third down, and instead they declined the penalty and punted on fourth and two. Did you see that?
Yeah.
What in the world is up with that?
Well, they don't know what they're doing.
And then David Culley in the postgame presser is like, yeah, well, maybe we'll learn from it and we'll make a different decision next time. In other words, he's like, yeah, that was pretty stupid. Why couldn't you figure that out in the time that you were playing?
Yeah, because these coaches, I don't know what gets in their brain when they're on the field. They just make some of the dumbest decisions.
I'm being serious here. There's got to be someone on staffs, and people have them, so I don't know, maybe they don't listen, that helps them with time management.
Yeah.
And then helps them with, like, whether to accept or decline penalties.
Yeah, every team should have a designated Madden champion on their sidelines.
But honestly, like, last week with Mike McCarthy and the Cowboys, it works out because Zuerlein nails a long 56, 57-yard field goal. Okay, good for him. But terribly mismanaged clock. Manning was ripping on the Lions for mismanaging the clock at the end of the first half against the Packers. And it might have cost them 4 extra points there because they, instead of being able to run a normal offense when they got down to the 20, they had to run shot plays to the end zone because they didn't have time. I don't get how NFL coaches continually mismanage the clock. That should be something that there's a lot of people now, especially younger people that have played Madden. They understand how to manage the clock, and it almost seems like they're better at managing the clock than NFL coaches at times, and it's frustrating. And I'm not saying that these people that play Madden understand football to the highest degree and could coach. I'm just saying
I do.
Well, I think they just understand how to manage a clock better. It's just,
I was ready to walk back my I think I could coach an NFL team to 9 games take, but then when there's guys like David Culley making boneheaded moves and McCarthy and all these guys, I'm like, I can't tell you what a triple Z double X Y 22-5 is. I can't run that play or instill it in my linemen. But when there's, you know, I know how to not burn a timeout.
So I found the coach that you would be if you did coach.
Oh, all right.
He coaches at, I believe it's Presbyterian College. Did you see a couple weeks ago that there was a quarterback that threw for 10 touchdowns and like 800 yards in a college game?
No.
He threw for 10 touchdowns, like threw for 800 yards, something crazy. And the reason is, every single time they score, it's an onside kick, never punts, always goes for it, never kicks field goals, I don't think, always goes for two. He plays Madden in real life.
Yeah, I like that.
That would be you.
I like that. And I'm pro, just to throw this back out there, I'm pro run up the score guy. Because you practice your whole life. Bill Belichick has said this. He has said this. He said, you practice your whole life to get here. Why are we going to take it easy? I agree on that. The coach I'd actually be is Bruce Barnum, coach of Portland State. He told people, hey, if you come to our game, I'll buy you a beer. So people went to the game, said, I'll have a beer on coach. And he picked up the $14,000 tab. So
I mean, that's what you're doing for us today at fourth base.
That's what I'm doing at fourth base. I am buying lunch for Rami, Sam, and Toby with the gift cards that sales gave me. But I am buying lunch. But I'm if it goes over, I'm covering it.
I appreciate it,
buddy. And I'm covering the tip.
Out of the kindness of your heart.
Yeah, and I might even Venmo you 80 cents for the gas to get over there.
Ooh.
If you play your cards right. I want to hear from Rodgers and Devontae and LaFleur. We'll do that in a second, but I do have to bring this up. Pawpaw Tom, who tweets at me like every hour about how much I suck. He tweeted this morning, everything you've ever said about Brett Anderson was spot on. I was wrong. Sorry. Oh, okay. How about that? Brewers lost last night. You knew that would happen. But that's the thing with Brett Anderson. He still might have one more of those six-inning gems in him. You know, he still might have one more of those in him. I don't think so, though. I think that they're going to leave him. I mean, maybe they start him a couple more times if they clinch everything and want to rest guys. I don't see him coming out of the bullpen. I don't see him starting. I don't see a use for him on this playoff roster. I haven't heard any of Brett Anderson. I'm just going to play the start of his press conference and see what's up. See how he felt. See if he blames the defense at all. He gave up six runs. Not all of them were earned, but it didn't matter. He's no good.
Brett, did you feel, you know, like you ever were able to settle in, or was it just a battle from the very outset?
Yeah, no, I mean, it was a grind. The goal is come in, have, you know, hopefully some clean innings and feel good about the next one. But obviously that wasn't the case. You know, hard contact, soft contact, all seem to find holes or gaps or whatnot, and you know, that's just kind of the way the series has been going. The Cardinals have obviously been playing really well in all facets of the game, and we really haven't been, but you know, starting pitching kind of sets the tone. Obviously Woody and Freddie had good starts, but you know, hopefully we can, Hauser comes out and pitches well tomorrow and keeps them off the board in the first, and we can kind of go from there, settle into the game a little bit rather than starting with a deficit. And you know, the pitch O'Neill hit out wasn't where I wanted to throw it, but it was a ball above the plate, and you know, he did a good job getting the barrel to it. And then the second inning, I just couldn't get him to hit it at somebody. And yeah, physically felt fine, but never really, like I said, settled in. And yeah, just not a very good one.
Brett, was there ever a discussion of doing a rehab, or because it was only 3 weeks, is that a short enough time that you were totally, you know, that you're comfortable.
Yeah, there's no point in doing a rehab start. I'm not going to go down there and half-ass it. And Spuddy only has so many innings in it anyway. I'm not going to go down there and throw innings at this point in the season. Like I said, physically, I felt fine. Just command was a tick off, and like I said, wasn't able to make a pitch to get out of the second inning. And then, you know, tip cap to the Cardinals. They did a really good job. They're playing well. And, you know, hopefully Hauser comes out and pitches well tomorrow. We kind of right the ship and win a couple ball games.
But considering what's at stake, what do you make of how flat the team's been the last week?
Brett? Oh, my God. I didn't know. You won't actually believe this. He didn't like the first two questions that he said he had a coleslaw or a canker sore in his mouth, and he couldn't talk. And he got up and left, and he faked injured in his press conference. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. You may not believe that. You shouldn't, but wow. What a wow.
He really didn't like that question from McAlvey.
Look, I'm not going to rehab. I'm better than that. I'm Brett Anderson, don't you know? I'm Brett freaking Anderson.
I mean, let's be honest though. He's like, I'm not going to go down there and give half effort and
yeah.
I'm going to come up here and log innings up here. Well,
yeah, why do a rehab start when I could cost the Brewers a game against the Cardinals?
Well, Brett, you're logging innings. You logged an inning and two thirds.
Yeah. You know what they should do for Brett Anderson? They should be like, "Hey Brett, we play Thursday night." And then he can pitch Thursday night, but like have 1,000 people in the stands. And
well, it was kind of like what I said before.
Fake games, so he plays in those.
It's like what I said before we headed out on Monday. I said the best way for the Packers to win Monday night was to give Joe Barry the wrong address to Lambeau. Maybe that's what they need to do. Change the address and send him to the wrong place. But he's already played a full season here, so it might be too late.
If he is on this postseason roster, he doesn't vibe with the team either, and that might be too weird of a complaint, but it seems like there's the Milwaukee Brewers and then there's Brett Anderson.
No, it feels like the Milwaukee Brewers clubhouse is full of Tiggers and Poos and all types of other people, and then you got Eeyore.
At first, I didn't know what you were saying.
Well, you made a reference to Eeyore. I was very clear in how I said it. They got some roos and all those other animals there hanging out with Christopher Robin, Craig Council.
Who's the bunny? What's his name?
I don't remember.
What's the little bunny's name?
I don't remember.
We haven't really done Winnie the Pooh yet in the house. We got Mickey, Disney's dominant in the house. Peanuts is dominant in the house. I just dug out some of my old toys, and my kid's really into the California Raisins, which... It's you have no idea. You missed out, man. You were born at the wrong time in history. There used to be raisins that would sing "Heard It Through the Grapevine" to sell California raisins, and that was when society peaked in the 80s for California raisins commercials. What else does he like? Oh, and then I found an old Brett Favre little headliner, and so Brett Favre hangs out with the Peanuts. So Brett Favre hangs out with, like, Charlie Brown and stuff. And he says, "Brett Favre, Brett Favre." Yep, that's Brett Favre.
Sure.
799-1250, 414-799-1250. Eeyore. What's the bunny's name? Did you find it? Piglet.
I'll look it up. Hold on.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. There's a piglet in Winnie the Pooh. That's who I'm thinking of. I'm not thinking of the bunny. I was thinking of the little tiny pig. Piglet. Piglet's the pig.
Yeah, it says rabbit.
Oh, it's just a rabbit?
There's Kanga and Roo.
Oh, yeah, rabbit, because Pooh goes, "Hey, rabbit. Hey, rabbit." Winnie the Pooh. I've never been a Winnie the Pooh guy. All these characters that don't wear pants. Something's going on there. I'm not into it. 799-1250 on the Fan. I think Rami means turn the YouTube down. Turn the radio up. Brewers, Cardinals wrap things up on YouTube today. YouTube. Adrian Hauser versus Adam Wainwright this afternoon from American Family Field. And then this weekend is a monster weekend. You're going to have the Wall of Honor induction tomorrow. Carlos Gomez, Giovanni Gallardo, Francisco Rodriguez, although Frankie K-Rod's not going to be there in person. Also, if you go tomorrow, the first 31,000 ticketed fans get a scratch-off with guaranteed prizes. That's always fun. Introduce gambling, the concept of gambling, to kids at a young age. It's good. You can scratch it off and get like 50% off a hot dog or a hat. I am not sure of the prizes. Also, it's a five-county Friday, everybody. Saturday, theme night, WWE. It's the big Euchre celebration. Braun then on Sunday is going to be there, and Euchre bobblehead day. So it's a Braun weekend, a Euchre weekend, a Carlos Gomez weekend, who he's already back in town, I believe he put on his Instagram. So lots going on. 799-1250, Sam is downtown. What's up, Sam?
Hey, how's it going, Bart? So it took me a minute to get on your Brett Anderson take. However, I am fully there. He is He is absolutely horrendous.
He's bad.
And horrible. I would rather have Keston here on the postseason roster than Brett Anderson. And you know what? Keston's not going to be on the postseason roster.
I'd rather have Jace Peterson pitch. He looked good last night.
Oh, he's a stud. Jace is a stud. It's really mind-boggling.
I'd rather have Louis Anderson.
Yeah. I'd rather have Snoopy or Pluto, whoever you were talking of. Winnie the Pooh, whoever you were talking about.
Yeah, Eeyore.
Eeyore. My question is like, what's up with the Brewers and taking them so long to, like, start Aaron Ashby? What are they waiting for? Like, why did they start Brett Anderson? Like, get that dude out of there.
Maybe they're doing what they did with Burns in 18, where Burns, you know, the Burns was kind of like he was kind of in that hater role. They were using him in the bullpen for an inning or two. Maybe that's what they like out of Ashby. I don't know.
Whatever, like, Brett Anderson is garbage, and he should not start another game this year, and he should absolutely not make the postseason roster. If he makes the postseason roster, I don't even know.
I can't just imagine when in the postseason would Craig Counsell be standing there and thinking, all right, this is the time for Brett Anderson. When's that going to be? Never.
Never. And so if he makes the roster, I will lose my mind.
Yeah.
It's a wasted spot.
I will too. I will lose my freaking mind.
I will bang it against the walls, man.
Yeah. I will slice my head open and take my brain out and punt it into the river.
Well, that's a lot. You know, if you were to do that, that's a lot. Maybe just slicing it open would be okay, but don't punt it into the river. Okay?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Have a good day.
All right, you too, Sam. 799-1250. 414-799-1250. I don't want to get on the radio and be like, hey, here's a guy I don't like. But I don't like him. I guess I don't know him. It's not fair. You've not been in this clubhouse to know. You know, he's going to go all Aaron Rodgers on it.
Well, yeah, I mean, you say, I don't like to get on the radio and say I don't like people. Rodgers wins you a game Monday night, and what do you do the entire first hour on Tuesday?
Well, he's annoying me. He's at it again yesterday. Here's a little bit of Rodgers yesterday. Double down. All he cares about, can you focus on the Niners instead of JerMichael Finley, please? Can we, like, go try to win a football game?
Personally, I think I would be a little sensitive to people questioning my commitment to this team. Said it from the start, if I wasn't 100% committed to the squad and my team, then I wouldn't have come back. Now, maybe people thought that was, you know, some sort of cliche line or obligatory statement, but it was the truth. Now, whether or not you understand my attitude or, you know, my off-the-field interest in meditation or a more focused or centered lifestyle.
Oh my God, get over yourself. Seriously.
Not everybody's going to understand or relate to that or get that. But to use statements like that or things I did in the off season or my own mental status that I actually explained many times in this room or in this forum as the basis for statements around me not caring or not being invested with my team is not rooted in fact. It's not correct. And I do enjoy the opportunity to correct misinformation like that.
I mean, who listens to that and is like pumped up? I'm sorry. You want to talk about Eeyore? Jeez. Rodgers and Brett Anderson and me can get in a room and we'd like out depress each other. I'd be like, I don't like you guys. And Rodgers would be like, you don't understand what like is. Liking someone is in the abstract of the way that we feel. It's about conversations. And I just want to correct, if you don't like me, that isn't you not liking me. That's you not liking you. And Brett Anderson would be like, my knee hurts, I'm leaving. All right. Rodgers, remember when Paul Allen made up a thing that Rodgers was going to get traded to the Niners? And then people reported it. Rodgers never really thought he would be a Niner this year.
Aaron, at any point this offseason, did you think or hope you'd be playing for San Francisco this year?
There were points where I thought anything was possible, definitely, but not a strong possibility.
All right, let's talk a little bit about this game itself. The Niners defense is good, and they've been good against Rodgers, and it's going to be a test for them. I think when we take a look at how this game might go, I would expect Aaron Rodgers to put up points. Here's a fun fact for you that may help you in your fantasy matchups, or if you want to play a little daily fantasy. 9 straight Sunday Night Football contest. Davante Adams has played and he has scored a touchdown. 9 straight Sunday Night Football games. Davante has scored a touchdown. So there's your prop bet of the week. Take him to score. So the Niners defense will provide a challenge a little bit, but I think the Packers will put up some points. I think everybody's worried about the Packers defense. We'll see what Aaron Rodgers, though, can do against the defense. They are good. They are a test.
I see a lot of studs. You know, having Bosa back obviously helps. He's a game changer. Looks like he's moving well. He's been involved in a lot of plays on defense, as he was a couple years ago. You know, Armstead is a long, stout defender who can play inside and outside for him. He's a stud. You know, I think DJ Jones is a real talented player inside. He's been very active for them the first couple weeks. Fred, you know, I've talked about Fred. They caught me on, you know, on the mic'd up last year. I think it was telling him how talented I think he is. And he got the recognition he deserves from the voting and the postseason voting. And also contract-wise, it legitimizes his ability on the field.
So he's going to face that defense. They're also going to face a tough crowd. Rodgers hasn't really faced a hostile crowd in a while. Last year, they didn't. And then week 1, you were going to against the Saints in the Superdome, which I think the Saints are going to return their week 4 because it caught on fire the other day. That's not a good omen. But they're going to face, it's going to be a road game. It's going to be a road game, a true road game for the first time in really a year and a half.
Yeah, feel good. You know, feel like normal football and being able to have a crowd to deal with and the environment. You know, it just makes things tougher communication-wise for sure. Also makes things tougher on the defense as well to get their calls in because of the crowd noise. So we're going to have to do a good job of handling it with our young guys up front. But that's what we've been working on the last, I'd say month of camp and the first 2 weeks of the season, the silent count, and being ready to adjust to that, adjust to the noise, and we'll be ready.
Isn't this nice to hear Rodgers name guys on defense and say they're a good player, or to talk about the atmosphere instead of him answering a question with the word Zen conversation or mediation, meditation? I mean, isn't that nice?
It is nice. It's what we talked about, though. If he talks about football, we can actually understand him, listen to him, and feel like we are getting something from him talking. That is a good point, though. I mean, this team hasn't had to deal with the crowd noise, and this offensive line is very young. So do you think it's going to be a problem on Sunday night?
Probably. Well, I think they're going to lose, so sure. I think a lot of things are going to be a problem.
I think this is going to be a real test for Josh Myers to see how he can react and be ready to go with Aaron. And also, I mean, this is where a guy like Corey Linsley was so valuable, is he's able to get his calls for his linemen and help Aaron Rodgers out. And in a crowd noise where you can't really hear Aaron clearly, Linsley was able to help out with that sort of thing. Josh Myers, is he at that point yet? I'm not sure. So that could be something to watch. And also, you're going to have to go up against Nick Bosa and a stout 49ers defense. I don't know if this offensive line is ready for that. Hopefully they are. I think the weapons are going to be fine against this defense, but it's just whether that up front is going to work on offense and defense. Are they going to get any pass rush? Because if they don't get any, Jimmy Garoppolo is just going to sit back there and pick them apart.
You know, I'm probably going to take the Packers to win, I think. I think I'm going to. Because this way, when there's games like this that seem so obvious, and I'm trying to not look at this from a Packers standpoint, I look at this how I looked at Raiders-Steelers last week. Everyone thought the Steelers, you know? Everyone takes the Steelers. But sometimes in games like that, when everybody's on them, the other team ends up winning. I don't know if Rodgers, because he did. Okay, so we're talking football here. Thank God. So he looked good. I mean, Rodgers looked very good. Yeah, he missed MVS a time or two. I think that can correct itself. Will the offensive line be able to deal with some of the crowd noise and the silent count? That's going to be a big test. Devontae, I think, is going to have a huge night again. And he scored on 9 straight Sunday Night Football games. I don't think you can just say that that's a coincidence. I mean, he's their big guy, and they look to give him touchdowns in prime time. Aaron Jones should be in for another night. I don't know what kind of defense the Niners are going to run on the Packers. Are they going to go with the 2 high safeties again and have Aaron Jones and think, oh, our linebackers can stop him better than Detroit's can? Really, it's going to come down to the Packers' defense. A lot of this comes down to the Packers' defense.
And that's what worries me. If I had to pick right now, I think I might go with the Niners just because of the Packers' defense. I haven't seen anything out of them in the first 2 weeks, even including that second half last week. I still haven't seen anything that I felt impressed with. And the Niners have some weapons. They really haven't used Ayuk at all. I think at some point he's going to get more involved in the offense. Deebo Samuel's had really good games to start the year, and George Kittle really hasn't done much either to start the year, and I think that they're going to try and get him going at some point soon, and it might be against the Packers this week. And so, I don't know if the Packers are going to be able to stop the running game, even though who knows who's running the ball for them, whether it's Elijah Mitchell, Jamichael Hasty, Trey Sermon, whoever it is. I don't know if they're going to be able to stop the run. I'm worried about this Packers defense. I think the offense is going to put up points. I think they're going to be able to move the ball. I think Rodgers is kind of back into his form now and figured stuff out. I just want to see Rodgers stay within the offense and move the ball within LaFleur's offense, and then when the opportunity presents itself to make a spectacular throw like he did to Tonyan or Devontae, that he'll make that. That's what I want to see from him. And then defensively, I want to see them be able to stop the run and then get some sort of pass rush. So ultimately, it's going to come down to up front for the defense and probably up front for the offense as well.
Corey tweets in, says, Rodgers used to be so fun to listen to. He'd talk about specific plays, shared memories, amping up players on his team to the writers, making jokes. The stuff Giannis does now, play Giannis pressers instead. Hashtag world champs, hashtag Bucks and six. Yeah, it was 9 weeks ago today that the Bucks had a parade. Their first preseason game is like in 2 days. I mean, it's soon. They're starting very, very soon. Pete says, great job holding Bart accountable on his hate for 12. I think he's tweeting you. Nothing he said in yesterday's interview was out of bounds or zen-like. He said the word zen. Yeah, Bart, you sound so foolish when it comes to 12. By the way, how was the love singing the other day? I don't know what's going on there. Tony says, do you think Aaron is doing an Andy Kaufman or Joaquin Phoenix type shtick this year? I think he thinks he is my answer to that. It will be a tough test. Packers Niners Sunday Night Football. Matt LaFleur.
You're talking about one of the premier teams, in not only in the NFC, but in the National Football League. And I think you can see it in every phase, offense, defense, special teams. I think, like I've already talked about, the coaching staff that they have and the respect that I have for them. I think they're one of the best in the business. And then you look at the players they have, and they've got elite players in every phase. So it's going to be a great challenge for us, you know, on the road in a pretty hostile environment. I remember the last time we were there, it was, I shouldn't say the last time we were there, but 2 years ago when we were there, it's tough to operate from an offensive standpoint because it was a pretty chaotic environment. So I anticipate that being much the same. And we just got to make sure that our communication's on point and that we're prepared both mentally and physically to go out there and put our best foot forward.
Yeah, maybe I am going back to the Niners. The Packers' defense is a big concern, and all the stuff you're saying about the offensive line on the road, 3 young dudes.
See, I'm still not that worried about the offensive line. I think they're going to be fine.
Well, they are playing well.
I think they're going to find a way to do a lot of good things on offense. So if you look at the side of the ball that I'm worried about, it's just defensively. Because I think if Jared Goff was able to pick you apart in the first half of that game last week, and then basically for the fourth quarter, I don't really count too much of that because Jared Goff couldn't even hold onto the football. And so essentially I saw 1 good quarter, and I've seen 6 bad quarters out of this Packers defense. I need to see them do it against Garoppolo, and I think Garoppolo's a decent quarterback, especially if you give him the time like Goff did in the first half. He'll just pick you apart.
Oh, don't you think they're going to go a little Trey Lance in this game too? I mean, you see Trey Lance out there. Trey Lance can run on you, and he can run on the Packers. And I think the Packers are going to see Trey Lance out there for a play or two and overcommit to him, and then, you know, they'll hand it off to whoever's their running back this week.
Well, and do you think that they're going to be able to stop the run this week? Because we've seen also in the NFC Championship that if the run is working, Kyle Shanahan's not afraid to just say, we're going to run it every freaking play.
Yeah, but the problem this time around is the Niners running backs are so, like, beat up.
That's fine, but this scheme does a good job of getting guys open holes and they hit it. So, for whatever reason, he can turn guys like JaMychal Hasty and Elijah Mitchell, and even, I mean, Trey Sermon's a little
higher. Yeah, but they're all hurt.
Caliber. But still, even if it has to be somebody else, he finds a way. This
Jacques Patrick?
Dude, this Niners running game somehow is one of the best in the league, and it doesn't even have to have that great of a back. I mean, Mostert had that 1 year where he went off, and he hasn't done anything since because he's been on the IR the whole time.
You know what I can see? I can see, like, eight different Niners getting carries.
Well, they're going to give those couple end-arounds to Deebo Samuel.
Deebo and the Sherfield guy, and they'll probably line Kittle up as a fullback, and he'll run it in from the goal line or something crazy.
Which 49er weapon would you be most worried about going into Sunday?
Oh, Debo's going to kill us.
You think Deebo? I could see George Kittle just feasting across the middle.
Kittle is going to eat us alive. Trey Lance will get in this game and make us look stupid. This sucks. All right, I'm back on the Niners. Back on the Niners, I think.
Good thing you can't be wavered very easily. You're very steadfast on your stance.
Well, no, I don't have my stance yet, Toby. We're talking through it. That's the approach I take. I talk through my stuff. I'm not just going to come out here and say, Rodgers.
I think Rodgers has a great game.
Yeah, I do too. Yeah, me too.
I just think the Niners are going to be too good. Let me put it this way. I think the Packers' defense is going to be too bad.
Yeah, which will be too bad. We will talk to Ryan Wood about all these weapons. See if he can get us on the other side. Coming up! No one thought they could do it. But they did it. What did they do? Who is they? What is do? Do they the do-do? What am I? Who is we? They did it. They.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.